listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
It is Wednesday, July 1st. Happy birthday to me and Canada. This is show 1001. We're on the next 1,000 episodes of The Christian Commute now. And you are riding to my mom and dad's house with me, where hopefully someone has made me some yellow cake with ice cream. That's what I like. Yellow cake with ice cream on my birthday. Very simple. Whatever cake mix my grandma used to use. I don't remember if it was Sara Lee or Duncan Hines. I bet it was Duncan Hines. Anyway, that's what I'm doing. That's where I'm heading. You know what I want for my birthday? I want an AR-15, but I bet no one gets me one. That's okay. Because when you're a grown man, and I've found this to be true when trying to buy presents for my dad or for my father-in-law, when you're a grown man, you're not waiting for birthday presents. If you want something, you just go buy it. So I don't need to have an excuse, a birthday, to get an AR-15. I can just go buy one. Seth, why do you need an AR-15? To shoot rioters who come to my privileged neighborhood, just in case. Self-protection. Protection of me and my family. So that's my birthday wish today. All right. It's hot. But before I digress about all the stuff I'd like for my birthday, let's talk about today's show title. Today's show title, I want to try and say it with a straight face. Oh, come on. Another small pickup is making a left turn. What is it about small pickups that want to make a left turn onto the highway? Anyway, sorry. Today's show topic, I'm going to try to say this with a straight face. Lecrae wants chicken reparations. Lecrae wants chicken reparations, and that is Lecrae the rapper. Not the Christian rapper, Lecrae the rapper who happens to be Christian. Because I don't think he wants to be known as a Christian artist, but a rapper, an artist who is Christian. Alright? Lecrae wants chicken reparations. So that's the show title. If I get to it, I have a question in the inbox about red letter Bibles. And then, Lord willing, tomorrow on The Christian Commute, I have a question to answer about the two witnesses in Revelation. People keep sending me eschatology questions. I mean, I don't know. It hasn't happened yet. Ask me about something that did happen. I will tell you about it. What's about to happen? I don't know, but I'll do my best. So, by the way, thank you, everybody. That gives me a full week of show questions. But keep the questions coming. Oh, I'm not even on the freeway yet, and already traffic is regrettable, I'll say. What is the deal? You know what? It's all these people. I bet since Friday is a holiday, I bet a bunch of them took Thursday off. Some of my people took Thursday off. I'll be sitting at the office by myself tomorrow. Come on, people. I can't even get over. I've got the Bible chapter review to do here. Oh, come on. I probably could have got over then. I am still stuck in the right lane. I will not start the Bible chapter review until I'm able to get over. I'm making a move. Don't you come up on me, Nissan Sentra. Oh, this car is so slow. In Studio B. Show 1001. And this is an all-time record for being stuck in the right lane in thick traffic on a Wednesday. I'm making my move. Oh my gosh, here comes a tractor trailer. Okay, I'm almost there. This, I won't tell you right now. If you get frustrated by the shows where I just yell out and complain about traffic and can't get through anything, just turn it off. Because I'm already telling you, this is going to be one of those shows. And look who I find myself behind, but a Floridian. And the beaches are closed. 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. John was talking about testing the spirits. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them. Who's them? Well, that would be the false prophets and the false spirits. All right, the spirit of the Antichrist or spirits of the Antichrist and the false prophets who are already gone out into the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them. Not will overcome them, but have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You are from God. The Holy Spirit is in you. You are greater than he who is in the world. Antichrist, the devil, false prophets, those all evil spirits of evil, ancient spirits of evil. No, sorry. Remember Thundercats? Mum-Ra? You're greater than Mum-Ra. No, you're greater than the devil and all the demons and the Antichrist and all the Antichrist people and all the false prophets and the spirit of error that is in the world. You are greater. I really should say he is greater. You're not greater. You're just a lowly person. You have no power without God. But God is in you. So I guess by the transitive property, you're greater. Greater is he who is in the world. I'm sorry. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So because you already have God in you, you have already overcome those who are in the world. Them, the false prophets. You have overcome the false prophets and the evil spirits and the spirits of error because you are from God and he has overcome. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin was but a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. God does it, not you. How great a God we serve. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. And because God reigns, we have already overcome those in the world. They being the people we've overcome, they are from the world. Therefore, they speak as if from the world, and the world listens to them. We, John contrasts, we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So when we see false prophets speaking via Antichrist spirits, teaching error, what we will see is people listen to them. And we should not be shocked by this, because the people of the world are speaking the world's language and the world is listening. But we're not from the world. We're from God. And we listen to the people of God. So when we preach the truth of God, those who are from God listen to us. And we can this way discern the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. One is accepted by the world, one is accepted by the people of God. We're not to be surprised when we have trouble in the world, or when the world doesn't listen to us, or when we're persecuted. We should expect it. Now, when somebody says he's of God and doesn't listen to the things of God, that should be a little surprising, and then we should discern that that person is really from a false spirit. But no matter what happens, and no matter how many people, we see listen to false doctrine, listen to false preaching, good gosh, come on. Good gosh, I'm so holy. I would never use the Lord's name in vain. I say, good gosh. What was I talking about? No matter how many people we see listening to false teachers, when Joel Osteen's church is filled up, and when the demonic church of Freemasonry, Roland Springs, has a Freemason at every door being the usher during the worship time,
We're not to feel like we're powerless or at a loss, or that there's some fight before us, because we have overcome the world, or overcome the people in the world. How do we do it? Through God. It's not us, not me, but Christ in me. It's not us, it's Him. All right, and with that, let's move on to the inbox. Do you have a question about Christian theology or apologetics? Send it to SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com, or dial 470-315-0875. 470-315-0875. There goes my sticky note. It fell down. That's okay. I remember what I was going to say. Today's question comes from Gary in Illinois, all the way from the land of Lincoln. Gary from Illinois. Is there a problem with red letter Bibles? That's his question. He's heard people saying negative things about red letter Bibles. Gary, there's nothing wrong with red letter Bibles. I'd say there's something wrong with red letter Christians. So a red letter Christian, and I think I've done a show about them before, is someone who looks at Scripture and weights it and says, the words of Jesus carry more authority than what we find in the Old Testament or the words of Paul, John, or Peter, or Jude in the New Testament. The red print. So red letter Bibles, and you know, we don't... When's the last time you bought a print Bible? I use a phone Bible. And I think I have the option on my phone Bible on the computer to turn the text red or not. My first Bible that my mom and dad got me when I got saved was a New American Standard Bible. Let's see, it was probably the... before the 1991 edition. And the words of Jesus in the Gospels and in Acts and in Revelation are in red. All the other words are in black, but the words of Jesus are in red, and that's a red letter Bible. Perhaps you've heard the Brooks and Dunn song. There's usually terrible theology in country songs, I just want to say. What is that? So I bow my head, and I find it more and more truth. And the words written in red tells me that there's something life more to this. Ooh, I believe. I butchered that. Butchered a Brooks and Dunn song. Oh, for shame. But the words in red in some Bibles are the words of Jesus. And I understand the words to be printed in red, not because they're more important than the other words. It's because when you're reading the Gospels, you're shifting very quickly from narrative to a sermon from Jesus. Jesus is teaching something. So there's what's going on, and then there's what Jesus is saying. The lessons being taught in the Gospels are often being taught through the words of Jesus. And I think the letters have been made red not because they're more inspired or more authoritative than the other words. Is to help the reader shift from narrative and explanation about where they are and what's going on to the lesson being taught. It's the words of Jesus. Yes, Jesus is God, but the Holy Spirit inspired it all. All the words in the Bible are God's Word. Even the black ones. So I think the reason people say negative things about red-letter Bibles is because they think it implies that the words in red are more authoritative or important or more inspired than the words in black. And we know that all of Scripture is God-breathed. So it sounds almost blasphemous to say, but there's nothing special about the words of Jesus, because all the words are God's words, all of them. So in the Bible, when it says He wept, when Jesus is weeping, He wept, it's just as inspired as important when Jesus says, Martha, you know, believe in me. we're talking about the resurrection. All right? And that's, I think that's from the same chapter. But from a literary standpoint, it's nice to have the lesson stick out in red. That's why I have no problem with red letter Bibles, but I understand the people who do. So we have to have a robust and accurate doctrine of inspiration. Because how many times have you quoted something Paul might say? Like, homosexuality is always, this is an easy one. Romans 1, homosexuality is sinful, it's evil. Well, Jesus never condemned it. Well, yeah, but Paul does. But Jesus never did. Well, number one, that's an argument from silence. And number two, Paul as an apostle of a Jesus Christ. So what he says is authoritative. But you might run across a red-letter Christian like that. They're basically one of these people C.S. Lewis was talking about who just kind of like Jesus. You know, remember the liar, lunatic, and Lord argument that C.S. Lewis made? You know, all these people who think Jesus is such a great guy, but he's either a liar, lunatic, or the Lord based on what he said. So there's all these people like, Jesus is this great philosophical teacher, and it's so great, and the word's written in red, but I'm not going to listen to the Old Testament stuff. That's harsh. I mean, that's almost like Markianism. Those people are like Markianites or any other number of heretic or form of heretic. So, yeah, Gary, I think that's why people speak against red-letter Bibles, because it falls into that trap of being a red-letter Christian. All a red-letter Christian is somebody who denies the truth of God. Somebody who's selective. And that's no good. So, Gary, thanks for writing in. And somewhere, a thou in the thousand episodes, you can find my episode on red-letter Christians. If it's still there. So I'm not going to say anything more about that. It's hard to remember what I've done an episode on sometimes, but I know I've done one on Red Letter Christians. All right, let's go to the show title. Lecrae wants chicken stock. And I don't mean chicken stock like that broth you buy at the store, like chicken-flavored soup. No, I mean stock in a chicken company, specifically Chick-fil-A. And by the way, Chick-fil-A is a private company. You can't buy stock in it. It's probably an S-Corp if I had to guess, and it's all the shares are privately held. Anyway, you will recall, I guess it was last week or 2 weeks ago, that I did my assessment of Louis Giglio and Dan Cathy, who was the CEO of Chick-fil-A. Louis Giglio, the, I'll say, proprietor, not pastor, of Passion City Church, and founder of the Passion Movement. What's the Passion Movement? It's where Louis Giglio sells tickets to a bunch of Christian youths to fill up the Georgia Dome and invites John Piper and Beth Moore to speak to them. That Louis Giglio. And Dan Cathy, who I believe goes to Passion City, and Lecrae, they're all sitting down talking about race, because there's all these racial sensitivities right now, and it's up to the megachurch pastor to bring his CEO buddy up there in virtue signal. And remember, I talked about how awful it was, and Louis Giglio started saying, let's not say white privilege, let's say white blessing. Everybody's like, what? Please be more offensive. So you really can't blame Lecrae for being offended at that. And then Dan Cathy got down and started shining Lecrae's shoes. Now, he wasn't wearing dress shoes or the type of shoes that you need to go get shine, like a shoe shine. I think he was wearing tennis shoes. And Dan Cathy said, we as white people, you know, we need to get down and, you know, serve black people. Like, I'm going to shine his shoes. You know, I've been so privileged. Now I'm going to shine this guy's shoes. And Lecrae took it as virtue signaling, which it was. So now it's being reported what Lecrae's comments were after this happened. And he was expressing his displeasure to Louis Giglio and Dan Cathy. He says, whoever we are, I guess that's black people, because he's being communitarian. We don't want shoe signs. We want Chick-fil-A stock. You can Google this. You can. Lecrae tells Dan Cathy, who said, listen, white people, we need to be shining the shoes of black people because we're so privileged. And Lecrae says, we don't want shoe shines. We want Chick-fil-A stock. By the way, Chick-fil-A stock, if it was sold on the market, would be like $100 a share because that company makes money hand over foot. He doesn't want to be served. He doesn't want to be put in the kind of the front of the line and like a affirmative action type of deal. He just wants your stuff. Do you know what I call that? Covetousness. He doesn't want preferential treatment. He wants your wealth. Now, where did Chick-fil-A stock come from? It came from the hard work of Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, Dan Cathy's father. Truett Cathy had a restaurant in Doraville. And Doraville, if you're not familiar, I don't know if I'd call it a suburb of Atlanta. It's almost right smack dab in the middle of Atlanta. And it's where the is there a General Motors plant there, a Ford plant? They may be closed by now, but there used to be auto jobs there. So that was the industry in Doraville. And Doraville is not a particularly nice place right now. I wouldn't want to live there. But maybe back in the day when they were making cars there and there were a lot of union jobs, it was a nice place to live. And that's where Truett Cathy started his restaurant, the Dwarf Grill. And he wanted to give people on their lunch break something quick to eat, so he invented a chicken sandwich. And as Paul Harvey would say, now you know the rest of the story. Chick-fil-A is probably the most profitable quick service restaurant in the world. They've expanded way past Georgia. When I was a kid in Chattanooga, I never saw a freestanding Chick-fil-A. The only place I ever saw one in Tennessee was in the mall. They're really popular in mall food courts. And Dalton had a freestanding Chick-fil-A, but now Chick-fil-A is everywhere. It's out west. I mean, they're just making all kind of money. So Truett Cathy, through his hard work and entrepreneurship, has created all this wealth. Billions with a B. Billions of dollars of wealth. And that's what his family is now controlling. Lecrae said, listen, and I'm not using his actual words. I'm saying this is like what he said. Lecrae says, listen, Dan Cathy, don't get up and virtue signal. And by the way, that's what Dan Cathy was doing. Don't say you're going to, you know, give deference or preference to me. Give me some stock in Chick-fil-A. Give me your wealth. That's what we want. We. Again, you see the communitarian nature of those who demand reparations. Guys, that's just a sin. That's just covetousness. Now, the questions. Here's a question. Are reparations biblical? And the answer to that is yes. If you go back and look in Exodus and Leviticus, I think Exodus 22 is an example. Under the old covenant law in Israel, the civil code, if you steal from somebody, like you go steal somebody's chicken or their cow or their ox, and you get caught, you have to not only give the chicken or the ox back, you have to give them another ox. I think five of them. So if you get caught stealing from somebody, you have to pay them back with a penalty. Like, you know, if you rob a bank and take $1 million away in America, you have to pay the, you know, they catch you. You got to give the $1 million back to the bank. But in the Old Testament law, the disincentivized stealing, I would assume is one reason. You got to pay back. Remember, was it Zacchaeus and the tax collector? And he said, Jesus said to Zacchaeus, I'm going to stay in your house tonight. And then he's a little short guy. He climbs the tree so he can see Jesus. I think we sing a song about that when we were kids? About Zacchaeus climbing the tree? And Zacchaeus repents and he says, if I have defrauded anybody, I'm going to pay him back with interest. I think he said, I'm going to pay him back double or pay him back, I can't remember if it's quadruple or double. But he's basically admitting, you know, as a tax collector, I've defrauded people. And because they were typically crooked in that day, Jewish agents of Rome to tax the Jews, they were not well liked. And he says, if I've defrauded anybody, I'm going to pay him back. He's paying reparations as part of his repentance. Now, who owes the reparations? The Romans? All the Jews? No, he does against those whom he has specifically defrauded. When you see reparations in the Bible, you see these individual offended party being repaid by the offender. The idea of corporate reparations as a biblical law is not there. Now, a liberation theology person might point to Egypt and say, well, the Israelites plundered Egypt when they left. Yeah, that wasn't reparations. I think they were just kind of sticking it to the Egyptians. So when you get to the idea of reparations, and in America, reparations are reparations for slavery. And the idea is that black people were enslaved from the founding of the country, and because of that, they didn't have a leg up, they had a leg down, and therefore the government needs to pay them reparations. Except the problem is you can't find a single slave because they're all dead because they died 200 years ago. I mean, let me think about it. The Civil War ended in what, 1864, 1865? So, if you were a 20-year-old slave then, you'd be long dead by now. How many slaves were left by 1900? Probably none, or like a handful. And we're 120 years removed from 1900, so there's no slaves. They've been dead for over 100 years. Who's the government supposed to pay reparations to? What individual person? You can't find one. All you can find is black people in general. But they weren't specifically wronged. Perhaps one of their ancestors was. And if you start doing it by ancestry, well, you have to go back and say, well, can you track your ancestors back to Africa? Were they enslaving other people? Listen, people have been enslaved all over the world. Whites enslaving blacks and blacks enslaving whites. You track it back far enough, who owes the reparations? And does America owe the reparations because they inherited slavery from England? The colonies did. And some of the colonies took action to outlaw slavery. And then the northern states fought the southern states and expended a great number of lives, wealth, and resources freeing the slaves in the South. Is that reparation? Does that count? Here's the thing. You can't really get down logically and economically and argue with somebody who's just plain covetous. When you look at the Cathy family, Truett Cathy worked hard to earn that wealth and then left an inheritance for his sons and daughters who also now work to maintain that wealth. Wealth worked for is appreciated. What Lecrae wants is that man's wealth, not the opportunity to start a chicken restaurant. Lecrae could start a chicken restaurant if he wanted to. Lots of people have started chicken restaurants. We have Chick-fil-A, Zaxby's, Bojangles, Popeyes, Church's Chicken, Mrs. Winner's. Now, those are like low-tier chickens. Those places are not very good, in my opinion. But people, and I think some of them went bankrupt or out of business. When I was an auditor in Atlanta, I saw a chicken restaurant, perhaps founded by a black person, and it had it got a loan to start an inner city business, because that's what happened at the development authority that I was auditing. And the name of the chicken restaurant was Mo Better Chicken. Not More Better Chicken. Not Better Chicken. Not More Chicken. Mo Better Chicken. Mo Better Chicken. Mo Better Chicken was out of business by the time I was auditing it, and that loan was a default. But you think of all the successful chicken restaurants out there. How many chicken restaurants have been started and failed? So Truett Cathy invested wealth and gained money. Other people invested wealth and lost money. Their wealth was at risk. And now Lecrae wants stock in Chick-fil-A. Why? Because he worked hard? No, because he's black. Give us something we didn't earn and we didn't work for. And you know, I'm tempted to say, you know what? Go ahead and pay reparations. Just go ahead, federal government, and pay it. Because, hey, what's more millions of dollars of debt? Give everybody reparations. Take money from those who are under a tax burden and redistribute it to the people who want reparations because they're quote-unquote owed it. And by the way, poor people don't pay income taxes. All right? The way poor people pay income taxes is buying things from a corporation, and the price of the things they inflate that they bought are inflated because the corporation had to take into account the degradation of their profit margin caused by income taxes. But really, the very wealthy pay all the income tax, or substantially all the income tax in this country. And so the same people who are not paying income tax want the government, who have money from people who pay income tax, to give them more of the money. They want whose money? Other people's money. It's covetousness. Covetousness is a sin. And you think about a biblical ethic of work is not taking somebody else's stuff, but being a steward of your time and talent and earning treasure and then being a steward of that treasure. Economic history shows that people who didn't earn their wealth blow it. So listen, here's what's going to happen if they did reparations. The federal government would take money from corporations who earn lots of money and therefore have to pay taxes. They'd give that money to the people who feel like they're owed reparations. Then they would buy all number of Cadillacs and stereos from the very companies that they took money from, and those wealthy companies would just get the money back, and the people who are given reparations would be back in line at the payday loan place pawning their car titles 5 years later because they don't know how to manage money and because they didn't appreciate the money they had because they didn't work for it. That's what I think would happen. But do you think that argument matters? Making a logical argument like that doesn't matter, because you know what? Covetous people are so steeped in their sin, they don't want to listen to something that's economically logical or economically wise, because it's refuting their covetousness. And they certainly don't want to listen to anything that makes biblical sense. So you can go to a covetous person like Lecrae and say, Lecrae, you want Dan Cathy's wealth, you want some chicken stock, and a company that you didn't found and have never done a day's work for in your life. You want his wealth. You're covetous. And you want to give it to people who have your same skin color. That makes you racist. So you're covetous and racist. Reparations are corporate reparations to a people from a government are not biblical. Here's what biblical reparations are. Here's what covetousness is. Repent. Now, he'll either repent or not. But does that sound like a Christian worldview? Does it sound like the worldview of a Christian man? It doesn't sound like a Christian rapper. Quite frankly, it's a rapper who happens to say he's Christian who would say that. Lecrae doesn't have the biblical worldview because he's covetous of someone else's wealth. He's asking for that reparation. You wouldn't ask for that if you understood covetousness biblically, you wouldn't ask for somebody else's wealth. You'd want to earn your own. If you understood reparations, you wouldn't ask for corporate reparations because you'd understand that they were personal, just like your sin is personal. So guess what? If your dad and granddad got saved, it doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven. You have to get saved. And I almost grow weary of people making arguments against reparations and things, and like Lecrae's talking about. He's not the only person asking for other people's wealth. And he's like, guys, they're the world. That's why they're not listening to your biblical thing. They're the world. Lecrae's acting like the world. I've never met him. I'm not going to say this guy's my brother in Christ because he says he's a Christian and produces Christian rap. I've never met him. But here's what I want you to think. Who's been put in front of your kids? Remember the Billy Graham Sermon for America, the last video Billy Graham ever released? And it was on Fox News and it was on some other channel in prime time. there was Billy Graham, and then there was two other people giving their testimony. I forget who one of them was. It was a woman, but I forget who she is. The other one was Lecrae. I can explicitly remember being in church and seeing a Georgia Baptist Convention youth conference or youth night in Athens advertised. Do you know who the entertainment was? Lecrae. The Georgia Baptist Convention, the Christian Industrial Complex, is putting in front of youth, as an example of Christianity, Lecrae. You see Lecrae hanging out with the Passion Conference guy. That's what's being pushed on youth. And you wonder why kids are out running around tearing down statues and causing all kind of havoc. Because when you go to a Lecrae concert, you're not getting discipled. The Georgia Baptist Convention has sold tickets. Cha-ching! And then they've said, oh yeah, we had 10 kids at response time get saved. So that justifies it all. It makes me sad to see a man like Lecrae, who is famous and wealthy for being a Christian celebrity, not understand Christianity. Other Christians are selling tickets to promote this guy, but he doesn't understand. He's going on the Billy Graham show. Look at this guy. It's Billy Graham's putting him forth. But he's covetousness. Doesn't understand individualism versus the corporate nature. Doesn't understand reparations. And you want all your kids to go flock and see this guy? At Louis Giglio's big fancy church with all their passion music and all that stuff and all his, hip clothes. And I mean, I'm trying to, his hip clothes and skinny jeans. I'm not trying to sound like a fuddy-duddy, but can you see something's wrong? You better teach your kids biblical doctrines. And you better warn them to not be covetousness, lest they end up like Cain. Sin crouching at their door and overcoming them. We're in a bad way. And if you think anything but the Word of God is going to pierce the greedy world's ears, then I don't know what to tell you. Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again tomorrow. As always, God bless. And as always, remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to sethdunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.